Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sim Manim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zagaz Baba Kama, Daf Kuf, the ninth parak HaGozel Eitzim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the previous daf relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told her the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, Din Esek Bish. This is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he shouldn't give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable, since he was a great enough expert to be exempt. It answers, Lifnim Mishur said Din Hu David. He went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. Rav Yosef thought a bright switch darshans, Vahudata Lahem, and you shall make known to them, Zebes Chayem. This refers to their livelihood, Esad Derech, the way, Zogmil Sosadim. This refers to performing kindness, Yelchu, that they shall walk, Zobikur Cholim. This refers to visiting the sick, Ba, in it, Zokvura, this refers to burying the dead. Esamasa, the actions. Zehadin, this refers to observing the law itself. Ashriya Asun, that they shall do. Zolifnim Meshur Zedin, this refers to going beyond the letter of the law. Pointing to Reish Lakish showed a dinar to Rabbi Elazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Rabbi Elazar would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish was like Rabbi Meir, Doin Dina Degarmi, who judges the law of Garmi, obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. The Gemara seeks a source where Mir judges the law of Garmi. After rejecting several suggestions, it quotes a brisa, Mechitzas Akerem Shenifritza, if a vineyard wall separating it from a grain field was breached, Omerlo Gador, the field's owner says to the vineyard's owner, wall of the breach so the grain does not grow, 1/200th while it is breached. If it was breached again after repair, he tells him again to close it. If the vineyard's owner abandoned the breach and did not wall it up, and it grew an additional 1/200th, har ze kidesh, he has rendered the grain condemned as kalaim and prohibited in benefit, and is responsible for any loss of the grain. Tosus explains how the Gemara knows this price was authored by Rav Meir. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hanoisin semer letzava, one who gives wool to the dyer to dye for him, v'gdichu yoreh, and the cauldron burned it because he overheated it, he must pay the wool's value because it was ruined through his negligence. Tzvo ka'ur, if he dyed it poorly using dye residue, thereby improving it only somewhat, the owner gives him either the dyer's expenses or the improvement of the wool, whichever is less. Lisbo will edom, but tzvo shachor, if he gave him wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no son would make samro. He pays him the wool's original value because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with the shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yudi disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. So once again, the three points are, number one, the previous stuff relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told her the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, Din Esek Bish. This is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he shouldn't give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable, since he was a great enough expert to be exempt. It answers, Lifnim Meshur said Din Hu David. He went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. Rav Yosef thought a bright switch darshans, Vahudata Lahem, and you shall make known to them, Zebes Chayem. This refers to their livelihood, Esad Derech, the way, Zogmil Sosadim. This refers to performing kindness, Yelchu, that they shall walk, Zobikur Cholim. This refers to visiting the sick, Ba, in it, Zokvura, this refers to burying the dead. Esamasa, the actions. Zehadin, this refers to observing the law itself. Ashriya Asun, that they shall do. Zolifnim Meshur Zedin, this refers to going beyond the letter of the law. Pointing to Reish Lakish showed a dinar to Rabbi Elazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Rabbi Elazar would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish was like Rabbi Meir, Doin Dina Degarmi, who judges the law of Garmi, obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. The Gemara seeks a source where Mir judges the law of Garmi. After rejecting several suggestions, it quotes a brisa, Mechitzas Akerem Shenifritza, if a vineyard wall separating it from a grain field was breached, Omerlo Gador, the field's owner says to the vineyard's owner, wall of the breach so the grain does not grow, 1/200th while it is breached. If it was breached again after repair, he tells him again to close it. If the vineyard's owner abandoned the breach and did not wall it up, and it grew an additional 1/200th, har ze kidesh, he has rendered the grain condemned as kalaim and prohibited in benefit, and is responsible for any loss of the grain. Tosus explains how the Gemara knows this price was authored by Rav Meir. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hanoisin Semer Letzava, one who gives wool to the dyer to dye for him, the Igdichu Yoreh, and the cauldron burned it because he overheated it, he must pay the wool's value because it was ruined through his negligence. Tzvo Ka'ur, if he dyed it poorly, using dye residue, thereby improving it only somewhat, the owner gives him either the dyer's expenses or the improvement of the wool, whichever is less. Lisbo will Edom, but Tzvo Shachor, if he gave him wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no son would made some. He pays him the wool's original value because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with the shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yudi disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. All right, so now we get our siman daf kuf, and our standard siman is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. The circus monkey standing under a lifnim mishuras adin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him holding a paper that said, you are chayev to pay, and flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red. Once again, slow motion. The circus monkey, that must murn duff kuf kof. The circus monkey standing under a lifnim mishuras adin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, which reminds us, the previous stuff relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, din esek bish, this is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he should not give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable since he was a great enough expert to be exempt, and it answers, Lifnim Mishur Zedin Hu David, he went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. So the circus monkey standing under a Lifnim Mishur Zedin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him holding paper that said, you are chayev to pay, which reminds us, Reish Lakish showed the Adina to Rabbi Lazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Belaz would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish rules like Rav Meir, doing dina de garmi, who judges the law of garmi obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. So the circus monkey standing under a lifnim mishuras adin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him holding a paper that said, you are chayev to pay, and flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one gave a dyer wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no sin lo demeit samro, he pays him the wool's original value, because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with his shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. So once again, the circus monkey standing under a lifnim mishuras adin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him holding a paper that said, you are chayev to pay, and flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red. All right, so now it's time for four Brabach Hazar. Tav Tzadivav. So the Zimmer Tav Tzadivav is a town crier proclaiming the king's commandments. So here goes. The town crier, that must be more Tav Tzadivav, Tzav. The town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep a share in the improvements, which reminds us, Rav has said, Gazel v'yishpiach u'machar, if one stole something and improved it and then sold it, Mashi hishpiach u'machar, what he improved, he has sold. Rashi says in his first explanation, this refers to the partial share the robber acquires in the improvements, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rav inquired if the buyer improved the stolen article, if he also receives this share in the article, and concluded, Mamacha Rishon L'Sheni, what did the first sell to the second? Kol Schus Shetavu L'Yadu, any right that comes into his hand. The buyer acquires all rights of the gazlan, including to acquire a share in his improvements. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the police that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, which reminds us, Rav Papa said, that if someone stole a palm tree and cut it down, even if he felled it into his own land, he does not acquire it because originally it was called a palm tree and now too, it's still called a palm tree and not considered changed. Even if he cut it into logs, they're still called palm tree logs and unchanged. However, if he made them into beams, he does acquire them. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the police that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, where he was melting stolen silver coins into a bar and acquiring them, since remaking coins would be panim chadashos, balokan, which reminds us, if one stole a bar of silver and made it into coins, he does not acquire it because it can be returned to a bar. The slight differences in shape are insignificant for a bar of silver. But if one stole silver coins and melted them into a bar, he does acquire them because remaking them into coins would be panim chadashos. Dav Tzadi Zayin. So the Simur Dav Tzadi Zayin is a chess master, a chess master. So here goes. The chess master, chess master. That must be more on Dav Tzadi Zayin. Chess, chess. The chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use, which reminds us, Rav ruled that an evid is considered like land and cannot be considered stolen. This contradicts another ruling of Rav's, Hatokef ba'avdo shel chavero ba'asa b'malacha putter. One who seizes his fellow slave and did work with him is putter from paying for his use. If a slave cannot be legally stolen and remains in the master's domain, he should pay for his work, whereas if he can be stolen, he merely returns it as is. The Gemara answers that he worked shelo b'shas malacha, not at the time of the master's work, so the master suffered no loss. So the chess master thief who stole someone's evit to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous stuff taught that if one stole a coin v'nistak and it cracked, he must pay its initial value, but if nifsal, it became disqualified, he may return it to the owner as is. Rav Huna interprets cracked literally, whereby the government requires it with a shenui, and nifsal means psal to malchus, the government disqualified it. Rav Huna says that if the government disqualified it, it's tantamount to being cracked, and the government pays its initial value. Rather, nifsal means one province no longer accepts it as currency, but another does. So, the chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government, that he was going to return to the victim and repaid a loan with a coin he had fixed payment on and told the lender, go and spend it in Meishan, where it's still accepted. Which reminds us, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin and the coin became disqualified, Rav says, he must give him a coin that passes as currency at that time of payment since he agreed to pay with currency. Shmuel says, he may pay with the original currency and tell the lender, go and spend it in Meishan, where it's still accepted. Dav Tzadiches. So the Simur Dav Tzadiches relates to schok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown routine. Clown. That must be more Dav Tzadiches. Schok. The clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, which reminds us, Rabba said, Hazork matbea shel chaver lo Yamagado pater. One who throws his fellow's coin into the Mediterranean Sea is exempt from paying because it can be retrieved. Rashi explains that although the owner has to pay divers to retrieve it, that damage is indirect. It's grama. This is only if the water is clear where the coin is visible, but if it was thrown into murky waters, he's liable because it's considered lost. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, which reminds us, Rabba said, Hasor shtaro shel chavero pater. One who burns his fellow's loan document is pater. Although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, Niara klaiminach, I burned a mere paper of yours and did not directly damage the loan, but destroyed his proof. Even Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar hagorma l'mamun k'mamun dami, something that causes a benefit of money, is like money, only holds this way, but davar she'ikaro mamun, with something that is inherently money, such as an animal, which became hektish, or chametz, which became asr b'hana after Pesach, but would agree that a shtar, which has no inherent value, is not considered money. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand, so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, concluded with the third clown pretending to be a carpenter who broke the box he made for the first two and saying, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, which reminds us, if one gave a carpenter wood to make a box and after making it, he broke it, he's exempt from paying the value of the finished product. The Gemara explains, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, a craftsman acquires the improvement to a Kli resulting from his work and ordinarily sells that share to the owner when it's complete. Therefore, when it breaks, the owner's loss is only the original wood he owned, not the increased value. Dav Tzadi Tess. The Simmer Dav Tzadi Tess is a cheetah. So here goes. The craftsman who is still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots. Cheetah, that must be Dav Tzadi Tess. Cheetah. The craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment. He returned to the customer, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires utensils improvement from a brisa discussing prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses baltalin, the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment. He returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, which reminds the Gemara suggests that the question of Umen Konach B'Shevach Chli is a Malkokas Tanaim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with it, and in return I'll become married to you. Ramir says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her, but the Chum say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds that Yeshna Laschiris Metchil Vatsova Hava Milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan isn't effective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the laborer as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman giving her the finished product would not affect Kedushin. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment. He returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'd become married to him. After she decided not to marry the expert shochet, who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it unavailable. Which reminds us, Shmuel said, Tabach Umen Shekilkel, an expert shochet, who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it unavailable. He's chayv to pay the owner. He's a damager, and he's negligent. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here, the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted him from a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chayv for his negligence. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which of the one, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin, and the coin became disqualified, Shmuel says he can say, go spend it in Meishan, where it's still accepted. That's on Dav Tzadi Zayin. Good number two. Which of the one, if a guzzlin stole a palm tree and cut it down into logs, he does not acquire them since they're still called palm tree logs. That's on Dav Tzadi Vav. Good number three. Which of the one, an expert shochet who improperly shechted an animal, rendering the animal in the vela, he's chayv to pay the owner. That's on Dav Tzadi Tess. Good number four. Which of the one, Rabbi Chiya compensated a woman for wrongly evaluating her coin, even though he was an expert, because he went, Lifnim Meshur Zedin. That's on Daf Kuf. Good number five. Which of the one, the one who steals one's Eben and has him do work for him, he's putter for paying for his use. That's on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Good number six. Which of the one, Rabbi Ribbis, the kind of not to accept payment from Gazlanim and Malvi Ribbis. That's on Daf Tzadi Dalad. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn? Rabbi Meir holds of Dingarmi obligating payment in certain cases of indirect damage. That's on Dav Kuf. Good number eight. Which of the one who burns his fellow shtar is putra, although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, I burned a mere paper of yours. That's on Dav Tzadi Ches. Good number nine. Which stuff of the case where a woman gave a craftsman some gold and asked him to make a ring for her, and she'll become married to him. That's on Dav Tzadi Tess. Good. And number 10, which daf do Malkos? What a dyer must pay if he dyes a garment black when he was supposed to dye it red? That's on Dav Kuf. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.